And I'm just going to ask as many questions as we can here. You guys can't walk around. Can you still answer questions? You know, if you're Italian and somebody sits on your hands, you can't talk anymore. Okay. So. Okay. Okay. This is, this is a serious question. Okay. I lost my prodigal to her addiction 17 years ago. I'm still plagued by questions that have no answers on a daily basis. Will this ever end? Will I ever be at peace with this?
I've talked to a lot of moms because that's the biggest fear, is that if you don't put the pillow under their butt, that they could die. And that's a very real thing. The numbers are staggering. And it's so hard. It's so hard to understand that and to go to God and say, but why didn't you save them? And I can only tell you that I know that the Lord will be the God of comfort in that. Mm-hmm. He will help you wrestle through that. He knows that level of pain. You don't have a high priest who doesn't understand that. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you why someone else's prodigal got saved, but I can tell you that Jesus will not, he will wrestle with that in your heart and help you heal from that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that the loss will ever go away, but right. I know that he can help you with the pain.
Yes, absolutely. Do you have anything you want to say? No? Okay. Because the next one kind of goes with it. And it says, can you please address the blame that comes from other Christians to the parents of prodigals and the pride issue from Christians whose children never walk away with the Lord and how they judge those parents who do have prodigals, like obviously they're not doing something right. You ever deal with that?
We're all sinners saved by grace, and we're going to have to struggle with that sin nature until we're with the Lord. And so I love the verse that Shannon shared, Proverbs 16:5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That is personal. That doesn't say it. That's they. And so we deal with pride. I would imagine people, brothers and sisters in Christ, that maybe are looking at someone else and saying, well, how could they let that happen in their family? Or how could they do this? Or how could they let their gay son and his boyfriend come to their house for dinner, or whatever it might be? I don't think they really want to feel that way. I don't think they want to carry that pride. But maybe the Lord, they haven't allowed the Lord to convict them in that area of their life right then. Pride is a horrible, horrible thing. It's when in John chapter 1, when we learn that John the Baptist is declaring Jesus coming in, he says, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It doesn't say sins. In any translation, it says sin, because we all have one sin in common, and that is the sin of pride, saying, I got this. I don't need you, God. We believe in ourselves more than we believe in the Lord until we come to the knowledge of God. And so whoever wrote that and whoever's experiencing that, I'm sorry that you're experiencing that. When I first got saved, I judged parents because I had such a trying relationship with mine. And the Lord had to break me of my pride and say, listen, regardless of what my story was and what my situation with my parents was, what they did and didn't do, it was my choice to respond to that the way I did. It's understandable that I responded in some of those ways, but it was still me that sinned. My mom and dad did not cause me to sin. My own pride caused me to sin. So I'm sorry if you're being judged by someone else. Pray for that person that is judging you, because your prayer will do a lot more in their life than your anger toward them will.
Mm-hmm. 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 Do you miss anything?
Well, she covered it, but I was a lot like a bull in a china shop when I made a decision for Jesus, and I made a lot of judgments, and God taught me grace, and I am sorry that you're going through that, but go to Jesus and really have him help you know that you are walking in his grace. Mm-hmm. And then people learn things along the way. Mm-hmm. I've had people come back and say, I am so sorry, mm-hmm. because I thought this about you. And I've had to go back to someone and say, I am so sorry, mm-hmm. because how I thought I would respond in a situation and how I actually responded when I walked through it was really different.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times it's just a heart that hasn't learned it yet.
Yeah, exactly. For us to look at anybody else and to compare our parenting and the product of what we've been given is so wrong for us to do that. My mom taught me this thing, even though she wasn't a believer. She said, lest you walk a mile in another person's moccasins, you don't know what their walk has been like. And when we look at other people and think, well, look at my kids compared to, obviously you're not doing it right. That is so sinful. That is so prideful. That's the other older prodigal son. So I encourage you, if that might be you, to take your heart before the Lord. So this says, you know, I came here for something else. I didn't even think the word abortion would ever come up. How can I move past two of my own abortions? After 28 years, I still feel the pain and I think about it daily.
It's hard because the enemy likes to bring that up a lot. And I had to do a lot of work, and there's different ways that God works with people through that. Mm-hmm. That is a sin like any other sin, but it's mm-hmm. a heart that God will heal. There's a lot of good resources out there that will help you walk through them. Margie's, hold.
Talk to somebody who also has abortion.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and there are great ministries. Healing Hearts Ministry is a great ministry to walk through that with you. There are other resources. The Lord and I wrestled through it in a really precious way, and so I don't want to say here's how you do it, but I do know that if he brought it up to your heart while you were here, mm-hmm. that's because he wants to do a work in mm-hmm. it.
Chris, do you guys have a resource? Could you stand for me, Chris? Is it hard? I know it's hard. She needs surgery. This is Chris Zumbo. She's one of my favorite people. I say that about everybody, but that doesn't minimize how I love you. So she works at the CareNet Pregnancy Center in the city, right? And you deal with this a lot. If somebody has that question, can I send them to you? Okay, where will you be? Right there. Okay? If the person who wrote the question or if you have something like that, you'd like to talk to somebody. Chris talks with people all the time about that. Okay? Okay.
Oh. And if the Lord talked to you about that today, he's bringing it up not to judge you, but because he wants to meet you there and bring healing to your pain. He is not condemning you.
Yeah, that's right. Condemnation, we know that it's condemnation that doesn't come from God when it makes you want to turn away from the Father. It's conviction of sin that makes you want to run at him. But it's from the enemy when it pushes you away from him. This one said, our 26-year-old daughter is becoming non-gender. She's taking drugs and going to have surgery. Our 15-year-old son is confused. Why don't we stop her? And asks if she's going to go to hell. So they want to know what to do.
So often when we have situations like that in a family, I think you touched on it when you shared or you read something that when we sin, it doesn't just affect us. Mm-hmm. It affects everyone mm-hmm. around mm-hmm. us. So thank you for saying that out loud. Please come to my table later and we'll pray together.
Mm-hmm.
As far as your son, being gay or transgender isn't what sends us. Well, we don't get sent to hell. We go to hell because we don't believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So maybe you can talk to your son about, just bring up and go over the salvation message again. And for your daughter, pray that the Lord would show you the root issues of why she is repulsed by her own femininity. And ask that the Lord would show you that so you can pray that for her, because she's not praying that. I was repulsed at the thought of being a woman. And after through many years of talking with the Lord, he showed me why. The Lord wants to heal us, not hurt us.
Make us
whole. I was afraid to ask him certain questions, even though I did. I was sharing with the ladies earlier how hard it was for me to pray and ask the Lord what it was, if he would show me what it was to be a woman. Because I thought that meant that I would end up doing silhouettes or pilouettes or whatever those things you are when you spin and you have dresses on, and I would have to learn how to cook and all this stuff. I had a misperception of what being a woman was. And so your daughter has a wrong perception of what it is to be a woman. So pray that the Lord would give her the right perception of womanhood, and let that the Lord would show her that it is okay to be a woman, and that the Lord, that she would come to know that the Lord created her in her mother's womb for a plan and a purpose, and it was a good plan and a good purpose.
You know what,
and
Patty,
listen, you,
Patty, you told me once, or you spoke somewhere where you said something about the statistics that you had on people that had this surgery and were taking the drugs, right? You had information in case people went into schools, and you said, don't go in there with your Christianese. Talk with them about, on their level, about really the results of those who go through this.
Well, for those who are pre-puberty, I shared a little earlier today, 80 to 90% of those who have gender confusion pre-puberty, if they just, without, you know, any hormone blockers or anything like that, if they just make their way through puberty, 80 to 90% of those kids no longer have gender confusion. But for those who grow up and end up taking the hormone shots, you know, testosterone shots or estrogen, and then they go ahead and have sex reassignment surgery, there's a 30-year study that showed 41% of those who actually have the sex reassignment surgery either have suicidal thoughts or end up committing suicide. So it's something that's not connecting right in the mind, and they're trying to fix it through a physical way, and it's not fixing. Listen, if I was 16 years old now, I know that I would be moving my way toward sex reassignment surgery. But there's so many people that I've talked to through online and different ministries that I've connected with, that getting the surgery and taking the testosterone or the estrogen doesn't take away the dysphoria. It is still there, because you think that you're going to have this physical surgery, but it's still, you still don't feel like, I could have had the sex reassignment surgery, and in my mind, I would still know, but I'm still not a man. I didn't want the surgery. I wanted to be born a man, and anything less of that would have been less of that. So, I have two messages that, please come back to my table.
Wait,
so
I think we put it in your booklet, what we did.
Okay.
We referred to some things that you've done through Old Bridge and everything.
Awesome.
In your booklet, we wanted to make your booklet like something that you don't normally throw in the trash can after you're done. So we asked them, what kind of books would you recommend to go along with the Word of God, obviously, and what kind of helps might be. And Patty even sent us a Facebook connection group, right? There was a support group there. There was some web resources that she had. There were some DVDs that she recommended. So there's a host of books with little descriptions, and there's some where you can just research them yourself. And what we tried to do with what they both recommended for resources, we tried to get as many as we could into our bookstore to order those copies of those materials that we could get for you. If something really stuck out to you today, we wanted you to be able to get it, okay?
Help for Families, Help the number 4, and then Families is a fantastic resource for that. But there's two messages that I gave. I think I scanned through there. You put one of the gender. I have two gender messages, one for more leaning towards adults and parents, and then one for youth and young adults. So just come and talk to me.
Okay. Afterwards. I think the one aspect, though, when it says our 15-year-old son is confused why we don't stop her, that's that place of saying that you can't force somebody to stop in their absolute sin. You can pour your heart out and say, with everything in me, you want to help her to stop. This isn't going to solve whatever solution and in that conversation, but you can't force somebody to not sin. You can't stop it because, as we talked about today, sin happens in the heart. It's just manifested outwardly in other ways. So this is something that's happened in her heart. And say, for that 15-year-old son, when you make your own choices, you become a young man. Right now we're doing all we can to point you in the right direction, but you still have a free will to choose which way you're going to go in life and the things that you're going to take in and things you're going to wrap your heart around. And we're not going to force you to what we want for you. You're going to have to experience these things yourself, you know. So that's the sobriety of the path that we take. One question was, any ideas for PTSD? And I would say, since it's only post-traumatic stress disorder, if somebody has gone through something that's violated them tremendously and there's some post-traumatic stress, what would you recommend?
I personally have gone to Christian counseling. I love the folks at my church and those who are, you know, ahead of the counseling ministry there. I've gone through like 5 different levels of the Lord talking to me about my childhood sexual trauma. And one of those levels, I went in and I just needed someone to talk to about this. And the pastor that counseled me on that said, you know, Patty, I would tell you, read your Bible more, serve more, pray more, but you do all of that. So why don't you just go away by yourself for the weekend and just spend time with the Lord? And I'm thinking to myself, I live by myself. I'm always spending time with the Lord. And that's when I realized, as much as I love this person, that I realized I needed something deeper. And I went to the dean of counseling, or dean of psychiatry or psychology, I never get those ones right, of PBU. It's Karen University now, but it was Philadelphia Bible PBU, whatever it was, the Bible college in Philly. And he really, really helped me and let me know that how the brain releases different chemicals when you go through trauma and different things. And so that was my 4th stage. And then I'm like, you know, things were great and going on. And then my father passed away June 5th this year. And my mother, they were married for 67 years. My mother's 85 and she has dementia. And so I had no idea that that was going to trigger things. So I've actually gone to a local licensed Christian professional counselor these past couple months to just talk through some things. And it's really, really helped me.
I would say, too, though, post-traumatic stress can come from a lot of different places. And it's also a place that a lot of people put a lot of things. And, you know, I would encourage you to, if Patty's found someone that's good for her to talk to, there's a big movement, too, to solid biblical counselors, which is a little bit different from Christian counselors. I am not judging counselors, but what I'm saying is the Word of God can help you through things. Mm-hmm. And there is a couple of great organizations. I always get them wrong, BCEF and BBF, but they're just biblical counselors that have been trained to help use God's word, and not that our pastors and that we haven't, but they've been trained in the taking God's word and identifying some of your places of brokenness and helping you through them.
Nothing but it says, and you will know the truth, and the truth is what will set you free. Don't continue to see a counselor if they're not guiding you in truth, in the word of God. Okay?
Let me say this. The lady that I'm going to is from my church. So I know she's really biblically sound.
Oh, boy, we were worried for a minute.
That there are a lot of, there are a lot that say Christian counselors, and it's a combination of Christianity and a lot of psychology. And so you just want to be careful. Pointing you to the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear that over? You didn't hear a thing, did you? Okay. She's asking legitimately, sometimes you live in areas where you have no idea how to get the resources for biblical counseling, how those that are going to stay in the Word to help to guide you, because we're dealing with issues today that so many people, it almost feels to me, which I know this isn't truth, but it feels like almost abuse is what's becoming normal. It just feels like everywhere I go, that's a part of what comes with everybody when they come into relationships, is places where trust has been violated and destroyed, and there's wrong images of what intimacy is. Whatever that horrible thing is called, 50 shades of what? Blue, gray, blue, gray, gray. All I know is that I've been told that they are having troubles in the high schools with the kind of relationships happening with boys and girls because of how there's violence in it. There are things being, it's just horrendous. So finding biblical counseling, what I could do, because there are amazing resources out there. I'm a podcast lover. Not everybody does podcasts. Probably maybe a dozen of you, right? But I have some tremendous resources that they'll do 10 to 15 minutes for those who have ADOS.
OS.
Oh, shiny. Yeah, for the 10 to 15 on powerful places in Scripture, from anorexia, bulimia, abortion, suicide, depression, that goes straight into the Word of God and kind of explodes it, doesn't add to it, but weaves the Scriptures in such a way that you can see what God, his counseling book, there is nothing like this. And they just have this way of pulling out the Scriptures to different topics of people. That's what we try to do, some with the resource room. But if anybody wants some of those resources, I could post them on Facebook. You want me to do that? I can post just links to really good biblical counseling sites that have all kinds of topics to different issues. How about that? Would that be the best way? Okay, so you're going to have to friend me. You're going to have to be my friend if we're going to do that. But I'd be more than happy to do that and lead you in a good place, okay? Good, godly Christian counselors according to the Bible and the Word of God, not according to anything else, okay? Pardon? Yes, but love at the truth level. Okay, this is a good one, and I'm going to kind of rephrase it because a few people asked kind of similar questions, but it's about knowing how to draw lines. When somebody is continuing in their sin, they don't have any intention on stop. How much do you involve your life with them? Like, do you go to their wedding when they're going to have a gay wedding? Or if they're going to, they've OD, they come back, they have trouble, they get in trouble with the law, they come back. I mean, it's somebody that has a pattern of behavior of rebellion and they don't want to, and you have loved and you have loved and you have loved. But now there's a wrong perception of what love is when it crosses over into the line of enabling someone to continue.
when we cross over that line and we enable people, then we become the deceivers. And we don't want to deceive anyone. They're already walking in deception if they're walking in sin. So we don't want to enable anyone. And so you have to ask the Lord. We have to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. We do. And each family, each situation, each person, those are going to be different boundaries. Mm-hmm. And you, if it's your child, you know your child. You know when boundaries have been crossed. And if it comes to a point to where you have to make hard decisions and have hard conversations, you pray, you fast and you pray, and you get some friends to pray for you, and then you have that difficult conversation with your loved one and say, you know what, we've poured out as much as we can into you, but it's time for us to take a step back. And that's actually biblical. As we read in 1 Corinthians, when people were in gross sin, Paul says, you know what? You got to let them have a time away so that they can basically see what they're missing in the Lord. And then in 2 Corinthians, he says, you know what? In hopes that they come back. And when they do come back as the prodigal, we receive them with open arms. Mm-hmm. But ask the Lord, pray and ask the Lord what the boundaries are you need to set for your particular situation.
This is one of those areas that the Lord had to teach me something in a really hard way. I was on the phone with a really godly dad who loved Jesus, and I was giving him the tough love speech. You got to set boundaries. You got to let the consequences hit, or you don't answer the phone. And I was giving him that the stuff. And he said to me, my girl doesn't care if she's going to live. I can't just leave her alone. I have to know that I've done everything that I can. And so God just spoke to my heart, and he says, you have to turn down yourself. And he threw that girl in a car, and he drove her up to Bangor, Maine. And her life changed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So at that moment, I got real different about saying, here's what you need to do. But I will tell you that there's some principles. There are some things. I can tell you that you have to do what Patty just said and pray and ask the Lord. And because we're not the best judge of our hearts, especially when we're emotionally involved, you have to get solid women around you that can help you. Mm-hmm. And you have to set the boundaries. There is a way to say, I love you. I'm here for you. But I'm going to not give you the silver and gold, because that is not going to help you. Mm-hmm. And so here's what help looks like. Sometimes, you know, a drug addict will say to you, I need help. But their definition of help is, I need money. I need a place to stay. I need a this. You don't let them diagnose themselves. You need help. We all see it. If you knew what you needed, you would be taking care of it. And you obviously don't, right? And so what God is trying to say is, you have to pray and set the boundaries. But I have walked with a lot of women who, you know, there's not a cut and dry answer. There isn't. Mm-hmm. And you have to say, you want to point them to Jesus. You want to point them to help. And Shannon and I were talking, there's ministries out there for people who want to have someone walk alongside of you, because it's not easy. There's a number of them out there. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always take a ministry. It takes Jesus, and it takes discipleship, and it takes people walking alongside of you, and it takes wisdom. And not all of you know what it looks like to do heroin or this or that. There's a lot of stuff that you didn't need to educate yourself in. But you do have to make sure that you and your house, you serve the Lord. There's certain things that don't come in. Mm-hmm. If they're moving in a direction where they want help, or they're and you tell them what help looks like.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you love somebody and you care for somebody and you know that the soup in front of them had formaldehyde in it and would make them very sick and could kill them, you wouldn't say, here, let me go get you a spoon. And as they do it, you wouldn't watch. You wouldn't do that. But sometimes we don't realize that the cell phone that we're paying for every single month is helping them get their drugs. We don't realize that that cell phone is enabling them to do things that are absolutely destroying themselves. That's what part of that boundaries is what are your actions doing that are helping making sin easier in someone else's life? And if that's happening, that's not what Jesus would do.
And most parents will say, but they need that cell phone to get a hold of me when they need help. Let me just help you here. If that girl had no cell phone and she needed to get high, she'd find a way. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I understand that heart, but When there's, they will, they, when they're ready, they will cry out.
Okay, yeah. One more.
Can I just say, there's no one that knows how to manipulate you better than your child.
Amen.
They've been doing it their whole life. Amen. Seriously.
Yeah, amen. Okay, if you had, what is the most just we're going to end with this. What's the most common question you get asked by people?
Do I like men now? Seriously, that is the most common question. And my response is, but don't read into this more than what I'm saying. I didn't become saved to become straight. I got saved to become his. Now, whatever he chooses to do with me is his business, not mine. Now, I'm not saying that there is gay and straight. I don't believe that you're born either gay or straight. I don't believe in sexual or gender orientations. We're born male and female with a heterosexual inclination or a heterosexual being because that's how God created us. But then life comes in and our own will and our own sin comes in. But I, at this point, don't have attractions to men, but I at this point am not lusting over women either. I don't look at people in that way anymore, but I'm at the point in trusting God that I know if a man comes into my life and he's to be my husband, my heart will be for that man and it'll be a good thing. So
amen.
I don't have to fear it.
Amen. Isn't that great?
I don't get asked that question. So weird, right? I wonder why not. Listen, that's a really hard question for me because I get asked a lot of things. I get asked a lot of things about drugs. I get asked a lot of things about the difference between a heroin addict and this and that. But here's what I will tell you. I get told a lot that dual diagnose is a big thing that people talk to me a lot about. Because 90% of the drug addicts that come into the ministry are bipolar or depressed. They've been diagnosed that. I am not sitting here telling you that there is not such a thing, but here's what I will tell you, that you are a guilty person if you are a sinner. Right? If you break the law and you go to court, you're guilty. If you disobey your parents, you're guilty. If you sin against God, there's guilt. And guilt produces shame, and shame produces sadness. Mm-hmm. The definition of depression. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so you should be depressed if mm-hmm. you have not gotten right with Jesus.
Amen.
Bipolar, that means that you have no tools to manage your emotions. King David was bipolar. In one psalm, he would go from one pole to the other. If he had Prozac, we wouldn't have the psalms, right? The reality is that God took that and helped him. Now, please hear me. I am not minimizing. There is a legitimate place for medication. But I have had many people call me and say, my daughter is depressed. She's manic. She's bipolar. She's dual diagnosed. It's not just about the drugs. But I will tell you that I have watched Jesus because he can heal any disease and he can help people with those things. He can heal those things. Every situation is different. I get real leery of making blanket statements mm-hmm. because there's a difference between, here's what I will say. The addiction is not the problem. Again, it's the answer. You have a heart problem. We focus a lot on the symptom, and you do have to deal with the symptom when you've got certain drug addictions, because just stopping heroin or just stopping an opiate or just stopping alcohol, you have to have some medical attention in some of those areas. But that is not fixing the problem. That's like having cancer and taking a shower. You haven't touched the real problem yet because the drugs aren't the problem. People get deceived that once they've gone to detox that they're okay. You're not okay. Right. And so discipleship is the answer.
Yeah. Okay. So are we thankful for them for coming?